Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, means everything to them. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Couple quick notes for you. Coming up tonight, basketball here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Following Santa Claus between 6 and 7. Shikellamy basketball at Mifflinburg tonight at 7:09. That's on 1070 AM only. Meanwhile, wrestling tonight with Steve Williams at Benton at 7:09. That is on WKOK.com only coming up this evening. I'm Steve Jones. Great to have you with us. And also joining us, Kevin, I'm against a white Christmas. Her. So,
did not we, say I was against the white Christmas. It's just it's not going to happen.
You are a downer. Exactly. You know, and you know what? Right now, I can see Drew Kelly in the car right now. Yep, nodding. Yep, that's our guy.
Can't believe you called me Debbie Downer.
Well, you need to change things around. You need to change your life, your style. You need to be more positive about things.
So you're saying I have to look on the bright side of life?
Why not?
Isn't that a song?
Well, you're not going to sing it.
No.
All right. Let's bring in Jeff Hartman. We already talked about the Eagles with Brandon Gout from BleedingGreenNation.com. Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Jeff, welcome. Great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, they control their own destiny, and again, they seem now to hit a little bit of stride, although every time we say that, there's this stumble along the way. But what impressed you on Sunday?
I thought the team showed a lot of poise. You never really saw those situations where the team, you know, three and out. I think they might have only had one or two three and outs in the entire game. When they failed offensively, they were at least getting first downs, possibly flipping the field position. The defense is the defense. I mean, a lot of Steelers fans still are complaining and griping about the secondary. It's not going to get better. I mean, we're going into week 16 of the NFL season. If it's not good now, it's never going to be good. And I think that they just have to win with the offense. They have to outscore teams, and that's what they did against the Falcons on Sunday, and they just made enough plays to win. So they can get some turnovers. I like their odds down the stretch and maybe even in the playoffs.
All right. William Gay had the pick, brought it back. You know, you catch a break once in a while. Julio Jones did not play in the game. He probably would have caught about 470 yards worth of passes if he had. But still, the William Gay play, discuss that one because that was a game changer for them as well.
The play itself, I mean, it looked like Gay just made a good read on the ball. And I think on TV, you know, you hear I call them the talking heads, the color analysts and stuff, and they're trying to make it all about Gay had anticipated the play, and maybe he did do film study and anticipated, but he had his head in the backfield. He saw the ball. He got the ball, and obviously made a good play and a great return. I think that's what's underscored enough is that his return ability right there showed a lot of promise. It wasn't just a guinea walk into the end zone. He had the 50-yard return. So the William Gay, I mean, that's his third interception return for a touchdown this season, and that's a team record. And so you look at the times that he's made those pick six plays, they have been in crucial situations. He did it against Indianapolis. He did it against Tennessee, and then again on Sunday against the Falcons. So he has been, in my opinion, their most solid secondary player and possibly their best defender in 2014.
All right.
Let's talk about the world's play for a moment, because it was not just that play, but there was also a play in the 49ers-Seahawks game that was pivotal, where the same call was made of roughing the passer. And in the 49ers-Seahawks game, it had a huge bearing on the game, because instead of Seattle settling for three, it was third down. They got a first down and eventually scored a touchdown on that drive. How confused are you by what is a penalty these days in that situation? And what have others said to you about it, whether it's players, the team, anybody?
The Pittsburgh Steelers players, and not Jason Worlds, but other players, were very, very livid about that call, and rightfully so. But I want to say it was Jason Worlds that said they made the call. It is what it is. They don't have the ability to watch it on replay and in slow motion to freeze the frame where Worlds makes contact with Matt Ryan, but you see that the actual contact wasn't with the head or neck. I think the confusion comes about where it seems like now the officials are not only saying it's where you hit them, it's how you hit them. And that makes it extremely difficult to ever hit a quarterback. You look at Jason Worlds, I mean, most people would say, you know, his head was up and he drove through the quarterback, wrapped him up, and that's pretty textbook. But he hit him so hard that especially when Matt Ryan stayed down on the turf, you knew that the flag was coming, because the officials have to protect those players, and they're always going to err on the side of caution. But it's the aspect of they're now flagging how you hit them. How hard did you hit them? You know, how are you actually hitting them? Are you hitting them with your helmet, or are you hitting them with your shoulder? It's a lot of gray area in that category. I think players are ultimately, and it's gone back to even in the 2008, 2009, when they started implementing some of these rules with James Harrison and players like that. It's frustrating for them, because they don't know what is right and what is wrong in every single scenario, especially because it differs depending on the official you have as well.
On how hard you hit him? Is this a flag football game?
I think the funny thing is, it sounds ridiculous for me to say that, but if you watch that game, you watch that play in real speed, as an official that's standing, as the referee stands back there and watches the star players of the NFL, he watches his head snap back, he watches him stay on the ground, he's thinking to himself, I guarantee it, I've got to throw a flag here. Because if not, you know, maybe I'm going to be hearing from the league office, I'd rather the players. You see those big collisions. And you think back to the Emmanuel Sanders hit. I can't remember off the top of my head who hit him, but it was the game in Denver where he was stretched out to catch a pass, and the ball hits his fingertips, and he gets completely laid out. Very vicious hit, completely legal because he had the ball, and he gets fined for it. So I think that a lot of times how hard the player gets hit does come into play, although I don't think it should. I think that's just the truth of it.
Wow. That's not the game I grew up loving. All right, let's get to the next one, which is going to be Kansas City. We've talked about the secondary. Alex Smith is not a quarterback that completes a lot of passes beyond 20 yards. They may be plays that go for 20, 25 yards, but that's underneath stuff with yards after the catch. Does that play into what the Steelers want to do, Jeff, the fact that they don't have a guy that's a downfield thrower?
Yeah, I guess that does. They want a quarterback that's going to check things down. They want to be able to keep everything in front of them. We talked about it for weeks and weeks, how they are vulnerable to the deep pass. The New York Jets even completed a big pass against them with Michael Vick throwing that pass up in New York. So, I mean, it's one of those deals where if they can play a team that is primarily, when it comes to the passing game, a check down, hot read, we're going to just try to possess the ball and get first down. That's what the Pittsburgh Steelers want. The question with this team going forward is the defensive side is, can they stop the run against Kansas City? But an interesting fact that I'm not sure you're aware of, it's been almost a year, almost a full calendar year, the Kansas City Chiefs, or Alex Smith, has thrown a passing touchdown to a wide receiver.
This is the 2014 NFL, correct? Just want to make sure we're square on that. That's unbelievable.
I want to say it was November of 2013, the last time Alex Smith completed a passing touchdown to a wide receiver.
Wow.
Every touchdown he's thrown has been to a running back, fullback, or tight end.
Wow.
It's hard to believe, but it's the truth. I mean, I looked it up myself.
Oh no! If you say so, I believe you. They spent draft choices for this guy. Really? Just checking.
Just checking. They spent draft choices for it. Trying to make sure we got that right.
All right. When you look at this game, it because of the caliber of opponent, Kansas City's a good team. They aren't a great team, but they're a good team. The Steelers seem to play down to teams and play up to other teams. Does the schedule down the stretch in terms of that play up to mentality help them out because it's Kansas City and Cincinnati?
I think it does. I think it does help them out. I also think it helps them out of the magnitude of the game. It's a win and you're in situation. And that's something that I've said this for a long time is that, you know, you look at those mental lapses earlier in the season against Tampa Bay, against the Jets, against teams that are, or even in the Saints, there's always a lot of games left after that. And so they might have overlooked the team. Now you look at the season, it's very truncated. You have two games left. If you win them both, you not only get in the playoffs, but you win your division and you host the playoff game. And I think that's what they're ultimately looking at. They're taking it truly as a one game at a time. But with everything that's on the line this week, being able to punch their ticket to the playoffs this Sunday with a win at home, I think that they'll have their full focus. I don't think they're going to be looking over this game to the Bengals at all.
Yeah, no, agree with that. The front seven, back to the defense for a moment. We've talked about the secondary. The front seven has been really the bell cow on defense. Are they getting enough pressure on quarterbacks? Because obviously Smith and Dalton are two guys you can pressure into oblivion.
Yeah, they are getting pressure. And the thing is, it's just not showing up in the stat sheet in terms of quarterback sacks. If you watch that first half against the Falcons, Matt Ryan was beat up. He got hit a lot. He was hit often. There were several times. He got up slow. He had to sit out of play after Stephon Tuitt, the rookie from Notre Dame, hit him. They are getting pressure on these quarterbacks. Now, Alex Smith is a little bit more mobile, and a lot of quarterbacks, even Matt Ryan, who is immobile, was able to make plays on the ground. That's a concern, but they are putting pressure on the quarterback. Would you like to see the defensive front and Cam Hayward, who leads the team in sacks at five, get to the quarterback and actually make big plays in that area? Sure, but if worse comes to worse, they're disrupting the timing of the play, and they're hopefully trying to bail out a poor secondary and not having them call our guys for 6-7 seconds downfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much.
Jeff Hartman, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Kevin Herr's complete analysis and breakdown of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Stand together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. We head to the bottom of the hour and news. Kevin, when it comes to the Steelers,
I think that they have two opponents that really play into how they play. I think the door is open for them to run the table, finish this thing off, get a home game in the playoffs, go from there. In fact, they could get a bye because I think you watch Peyton Manning throw the ball right now. You know, it's interesting how Denver has not been on national TV a lot in the last month. You realize that? But when you watch Peyton Manning throw the ball, something's not quite right. He is not throwing the ball the same way he did in the opening 6 weeks of the season.
Well, and you look at the Bengals' schedule, too. I mean, they do not have a game that I think fits them very well. I think the Steelers and Chiefs work out much better for the Steelers than the Bengals and the Broncos on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game, though. That's a really good Monday night game.
No question. That's a really good Monday night game. I'm just not sure. I mean, if Cincinnati goes and loses that game, that really brings that tie into the picture then.
Well, for the division, if the Steelers win on Sunday, they're in. They're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs with a win, right. But I think if you're the Steelers right now, it maybe think you wouldn't have thought this maybe mid-season. But now you got to be thinking, hey, we really things have played out very well for this team to win the division.
Well, you wouldn't have thought at midseason that the Eagles would be fighting and scrapping to somehow get help to get into the playoffs while the Steelers would be in the driver's seat.
And the Broncos would be a running team.
You watch him throw the ball, Kevin. He's not throwing the ball well right now. He is not throwing it with the same velocity that you saw him throw the ball with early in the season. And nobody is, you're not going to hear anybody say anything against Peyton Manning in my quarter, because I think Peyton Manning's one of the best ever. But you watch them play right now. I know they've had injuries. That I do know. The Broncos have had injuries. More than their fair share of them. But there is something that's not quite... But really watch that game Monday night with interest. It's a relaxing night for me. I've got a game at 4. You know, we'll have the show, but we'll have the first 15
minutes. Whole 15 minutes of the program, yes.
Yeah, I know. And then we're going to go right to the game on Monday. But after that, what? I don't know, what are we done at 6:30, 7 o'clock? I mean, I already had the bowl game prepped. So there's going to be no need for me to do anything after that. I know you're surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm stunned. You know what? I do not understand why the NFL thinks that it is a good idea to have a team that will very likely be under 500 hosting a playoff game.
Well, they're trying to reward winning a division championship as opposed to somebody who... I'm just explaining.
No, I understand what you're saying.
You.
I understand that's what they're doing. Okay,
that's not how it's supposed to be.
No, and it's not usually.
Okay, I mean, and that's not how it's supposed to be. You notice how this has only really cropped up since they went to the four-team divisions.
Oh, it also cropped up when they, it'll also crop up even more if they add another playoff team or two.
Okay, I'm confused.
Well, there's a discussion. I mean, it's going to crop up the sub 500 record. It may crop up a little bit more. Not necessarily.
How?
Not necessarily for the division, though. But I
think.
Well, right now you have the Texans who are 7-7. And let's use the NFC. NFC is a great example. Right now in the hunt, the Eagles at 9-5, the Panthers at 5-8-1, and the Falcons at 5-9-0.
Yeah, and?
If you added another couple of playoff teams.
If you add a playoff team, Philadelphia's in.
Right. If you add a playoff team. If you add more than a playoff team is what I'm saying. I know they want to add more playoff games because that's where the money is.
That San Francisco would make it.
No, I think the Panthers and Falcons actually have it over them.
San Francisco is 7-7.
No, that's true. I forgot. They're 7-7. You're right. No, the Panthers and Falcons are still in the hunt. The Panthers and Falcons are still in the hunt because the South is still up for grabs. That's why they're still in the hunt. I wasn't thinking about that. okay.
You okay? Are you okay?
I'm fine. The point is, nobody under 500 should host a game, and nobody under 500 should be in the playoffs.
Well, this will be the second time it's happened. Seattle made it. And then won, beat New Orleans at home. I mean, the way it's supposed to be is you're supposed to be rewarded for winning your division. That's the reward for winning your division. I think the last thing they thought of was that, see, again, when you have the four-team divisions, that means only six of your 16 games are in your division. You know, you're playing 10 games outside of the division. That's the problem. Even if you add one team to each division, now at least you're playing eight, you're playing half your games in the division. Makes a difference.
Now, I saw one scenario where the Steelers actually played the Bengals again.
Okay, fine.
In the playoffs.
That would mean that they have a chance to beat them three times.
Not that it hasn't happened before. No, I think if they win, I don't know that they would play them again. I think if that would be if the Bengals win the division.
All I would hear all week from you would be how hard it is to beat
win
a team
three times in a row. Yeah, I agree.
And guess what? I'm of the mindset, like, if you beat them twice already, you're just better.
If things ended today, the Steelers and Bengals would be playing each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Look, if you've beaten them twice, you're better.
Well, if you beat them twice, I don't think the scenario puts in. But if you lose to them once,
I mean, come on, Double D, hang in there.
I'd rather not play a division game in the AFC wild card. How about that?
You know what?
Or division
team. You know what Double D stands for, right?
No.
Debbie Downer.
Okay. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tree hugging? Really?
Well, Mark sits in trees, I know that.
Ooh, no wonder you can't wait to get to this show. All right. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland Auto Home Life Business Insurance. The service and price means something to you. Of course it does. It means everything to them as well. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin this week is driving a gorgeous Santa Fe. Check it out on his Facebook page, also Twitter. And you can always check out the vehicle he's driving at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You know, I thought about what you've been saying, and I've decided that I'm going to change my ways.
Always look on the bright side of life.
We'll see how that works.
Always look on the light side of life.
So, you're going to a bar?
No, I got a game tonight. Can't do that.
That song's awful. All right.
Oh, come on. It's Monty Python. How do you... That's
I know it's Monty Python. I know it's Monty Python. That doesn't mean everything they did was good.
He even did it at the Olympics opening ceremonies a few years ago.
Yeah, I'll take your word on that. I mean, what's the next thing you're going to tell me? The Queen and James Bond jumped out of a plane?
That really wasn't the Queen.
Caught on, did you?
Just a little bit. I thought it was pretty funny, though. You got to admit, it was pretty funny.
I didn't see it.
Oh, that's right. It's pageantry, and you don't look at pageantry in sports.
No, I had a game that night, so...
Now, if you had a DVR, you would have been able to record it and play it back.
I can guarantee you, in no uncertain terms, I wouldn't even have thought about setting it. Okay. I felt better off at the game. Now, when it came to the actual Olympics and the competition, I enjoyed that very much. See, very quickly before we get to Donnie Collins, you see Washington, D.C. has put in, they really want the 2024 summer games.
I am really crossing my fingers that that's a possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but I'd love to see it happen.
I mean, from a regional point of view, I understand why you'd like to see it happen. But here's the area I have a problem with. It's a city that's already in gridlock to begin with traffic-wise. And I know they have the metro, which has worked out well. But you get out on the Beltway and nothing moves to begin with. And if they had the Olympic Games...
Oh, no, I completely agree with you about the gridlock and everything.
I'm just telling you about the issue I have with it, not with them having it, because obviously if they had it, I mean, I think we'd do the show there.
Well, I think what you'll find is you'll find that they'll be using venues, you know, in Philadelphia, in Baltimore. I think you'd find a lot of venues that are not that far away, and that's what I'm excited about.
Well, I would think the University of Maryland would have something.
Sure, yeah.
For them to use. Obviously, FedEx Field is there. RFK Stadium is there. Nationals Park is also another place. And, yeah, I'm sure they could put the Velodrome on the South Lawn. It would be a boost to the economy there.
Well, there's a lot of open space around Dulles.
Well, yeah, but it would be a boost to the economy there. Let's start with that. It is a city that does handle a large amount of people. When President Obama was inaugurated the first time, I believe what they had over a million people at the inauguration. And I believe that's one of the pitches they are using as to how they can handle traffic flow for a big event, discussing his inauguration in January 2009.
I don't know. It's ultra challenging to see the fireworks display in the National Mall, getting to and from the National Mall on July 4th. I can tell you that firsthand.
Okay. All right. I do think it's interesting. Chicago went all out for it to get the 2016 Olympics. They went all out for it. The president made a trip over to help with the presentation. And they finished fourth, and Rio ended up getting it. So I don't know. It's due to come back to the United States. It needs to, because in the end, in reality, the U.S. actually is the one that has supported it and kept it alive.
There is a big contingent of people that follow this sort of thing that believe that there are two other possibilities. One would be Paris. And the other one, if it is in the United States again, possibly Los Angeles, although it's been there twice. I can't see it a third time.
Well, I can tell you they would need infrastructure help there. They really would.
Rome's, by the way, the only one that put an application in so far.
Well, it's not determined till 2017, so I think they've got time. Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times Tribune. I think, Donnie, the last time you and I actually saw each other talked, I think it was face-to-face with that at Illinois, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, Illinois.
Yeah. How you been?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, just been getting by, just pretty much doing what everybody else is doing this time of year and looking forward to the bowl game.
Yeah. Media Day took place on Saturday. What do you get out of that, considering it's 2 weeks advance of the game?
Yeah, I think all you really get is what's going on right now. What the practices? What are they learning about it? What are they, what are they talking about? You do get some interesting tidbits about some of the players who you never heard of, or who you weren't exactly looking to, to play this season. How they're doing next season? I mean, I thought it was interesting a lot of the Joey Julius talk about maybe him being the next kicker, but other than that, I mean, you're not getting a whole lot of Boston College game planning, because they haven't done any Boston College game planning yet. It's other than the how good do you feel to be going to a bowl game and all that sort of stuff, Coach Paterno used to say that I don't even know why we're having the press conference right now. We don't know anything. It's I don't want to say it's way too early, because you can't do it next weekend because kids aren't around. You can't do it the weekend after because the game's not. Then so you have to talk to the players sometime. But yeah, as far as the game is concerned, you don't know anything.
this is completely different for Penn State because this really will be the first home bowl game they've played since the 1959 Liberty Bowl, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. It's definitely the closest game since then. And yeah, I was just telling Brian, I think this actually is the only game of Penn State, every bowl game Penn State plays in, that's actually closer to my house than Beaver Stadium is.
I never thought of that, Donnie.
it's about an hour and 50-minute drive to Yankee Stadium.
So how are you going to do this? Are you going to try and go up during the week before Christmas, then spend Christmas at home, or go up the 26th? How are you going to handle this in terms of how you cover it?
I'm probably going to go out on the 26th. How my wife and I get into the city is it's called the Willowbrook Mall. It's in Wayne, New Jersey, but you can catch a bus into the city to the Port Authority from there. So what we're going to do is stay at a hotel near there, kind of catch the bus to the game, to the city, and then take the train up the day of the game, just like we would do for a Yankees game. We've gone to a lot of Yankees games, so that's what we're going to do. But it's a totally different experience because I think they're talking about maybe having some media availability on the 22nd, which is the Monday, and maybe some on the 23rd. But I would drive into the city and back home.
Wow.
It would actually cost them less mileage than me going to the media day.
Right. No, exactly. I find it really interesting. This game, there's been a school of thought that the 12 practices, and that's what it'll end up being, it'll be 12 when it's all said and done, that the 12 practices are far more important than the game itself. There's no question the practices are invaluable. What kind of boost, though, do you think this gives the winter program spring and then into next season if they were to win it?
I think that's a great point. I think it's a huge boost for Penn State if they could win the game. And I don't usually say that. I mean, you go to the Outback Bowl, if you beat whoever you're facing there, that's a nice thing. But I don't know if that usually gives you a huge springboard. But I think going back to a bowl game, being 6-6, finishing at 7-6, I think that would give Penn State a big boost. Not just because of the record, but because of what it would mean. I think for them to win, they're going to have a game where Christian Hackenberg plays pretty well, where the line's going to have to play pretty well. Defense is going to have to shut down a really good running game. And I just think they're going to have to play well to win the game, and they need to play well because, they hadn't at times, especially in the second half of the season. I actually thought they, at times, played pretty well against Michigan State. The second half it kind of got away from them, but I thought Hackenberg looked better in that game. And I'm very interested to see him because, I personally think he was a little banged up in the second half of the year. And these couple of weeks, I want to see how he comes out with some rest, with a renewed vision of what he needs to do. And I think he's going to play pretty well. So I think that's going to be a big thing for Penn State if they can get him to play well, get the offensive line maybe to use these couple of weeks to build off of and then go out and win the game. I think it's huge. I think the game is more important than the practice.
It's interesting because I'm the same way. I think the practice takes care of itself. I'm with you, Donnie. I think the game and winning the game is a really important element to this that I think that some people are downplaying. I don't mean media people. I think some fans are downplaying. Yankee Stadium. You mentioned you've gone and seen Yankees games there. Give me your interest level to see Yankee Stadium converted into a football facility.
I've seen it on TV. And it's a little different now than it was. I mean, I think Notre Dame, I forget who they played. I know Notre Dame played
Rutgers.
Maybe it's Navy.
Yeah, Rutgers.
But I'm talking in the regular season years ago.
Right.
Where it was a kind of a different configuration with the field. And then now they tilted the field now where the end zone is in center field now and the one end zone in center field and one behind home plate. So it's going to be a kind of an interesting look. I'm a big, I've been to Yankee Stadium dozens of times, the new one. It's not anything close to the old one. If this was at the old Yankee Stadium, I'd be really gaga over this game. And I am because I think it's a great bowl venue, New York City at Christmas time. I don't think you can overstate that. But this isn't the old Yankee Stadium. This isn't the historic place where, Don Larson threw the perfect game and Babe Ruth played right field. This is where they won the 2009 World Series,
right,
and missed out in the playoff the last 2 years. But it's still New York City. It's still a great venue. It's going to be, you know, there's a lot of history they brought across the street. But I think the stadium aspect is one thing that's going to be overplayed in all this, because it just isn't the same place. And people, you know, like I said, I've been to this one dozens of times, but the old one I've been to hundreds. And the old one, that would have been something to see Penn State fans jamming into that place, because the other place lended itself better to a great atmosphere on game day. This one is kind of a more luxurious place, and it's a fine stadium, but yeah, I'm more interested to see the game wherever it's played than the venue doesn't do a whole lot for me just because it's the new one.
It's interesting because Jack Ham was telling me that he played a game in the old Yankee Stadium against the Giants when they had Fran Tarkenton. And and I said, oh, that goes back. Look, I couldn't resist, okay, Donnie? I said, that goes back, Jack.
And yeah, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah, I think he said it was the 71 or 72 season.
It would have had to be before they renovated it. So, yeah, it would have been 71.
Yeah. So, I think, he said, where is that? I said, well, that's a parking lot now.
The old Yankee Stadium is actually, for anybody who wants to know where it might be.
If you're walking
across the street to where the new stadium is, there's a couple of softball fields and a baseball field. That's where the stadium used to be. The old big bat that you used to see on Seinfeld episodes is still there. But it's kind of like a sports complex there now. And if you go to the baseball field and stand at home plate at the baseball field and look out towards center field and look out to the other kind of softball facilities there, that's where the home plate used to be at the old stadium. And it's quite a view if you know what you're looking for, and you're a Yankees fan or a baseball fan in general. It's a really neat thing to look out there, and you can kind of recognize the skyline. Skyline from the old stadium, the courthouse building in right center field and stuff like that. So that to me is a great part of the trip, to go out and kind of look at the baseball field.
Well, this is one guy that's going to walk over there and take a look at it. So, I mean, although I was kidding around with John Mosley yesterday from the Yankees, and he spoke at the football banquet yesterday. And I said, look, this is one diehard Red Sox fan that can't wait to go to Yankee Stadium. And he got up and he said, we convert people. And I leaned to the microphone and said, I leaned up and said, no. Yeah, and he knew I was joking because, look, they're one of the five greatest organizations in the history of sports. I mean, they really are.
The old stadium is one of the great, I mean, it's, if you think of stadiums worldwide, it's, you know, the Roman Coliseum and Yankee Stadium's in the discussion, the old place anyway.
No question. You can't have what they have, 27 world championships, 26 were won in that spot.
Yes.
I mean that's
unbelievable. And some of the greatest moments in sports history occurred there. I mean, the win one for the Gipper speech occurred at Yankee Stadium. There were a lot of big fights there. The overtime game with Unitas against the Giants was there. So it was, yes. That piece of land right next to Yankee Stadium, people don't understand how historic that place is, and it's not really well marked, to be honest with you. They should have more of a, you know, kind of some markings and some plaques there about what that piece of property meant in sports history.
No question. I mean, that piece of property was patrolled by Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Derek Jeter, Don Mattingly, Y.A. Tittle, Frank Gifford. I mean, we can go on and on and on with the people that have been on that piece of property, which is amazing. And that, I didn't even talk about the opponents.
No, yeah. And you can mention 10 great Yankees and forget Yogi Berra and a million others. I remember doing a couple of stories on the stadium when they were closing it, and the just some of the stuff that you forgot happened there is really amazing.
Yeah, so it really is. But you know what? I just think it's neat they get an opportunity to do this. I know that they wanted the Yankees have tried to get Penn State to play games in there before, but the problem is, in order for them to do it, they have to do it in November. They're not going to put a football field in there in September and October for obvious reasons. The Yankees needed to play baseball on it. So, you know, that's part. What's your feel on the game? How much do you really, you know, outside of Murphy, the quarterback, how much do you have a feel for Boston College yet?
Well, I think that what I've heard from Boston College, you know, the people who cover them and the people who've watched them, and you know, we have some alumni around here. Chris Snee is, you know, the Giants guard. He's from our area, so we have a lot of fans of Boston College around here, and everybody says to me, watch the offensive line. I mean, they're so veteran up front. It's not just Murphy and the two young running backs they have. I mean, it's that offensive line. It's this veteran group all the way across. And you know, someone told me that Penn State had that kind of experience up front. This is probably a 9-win team that they had. So, I'm looking forward to that matchup against Penn State's defensive line because I like matchups. You know, they style, you know, styles make fights in boxing, and I just think this is a good style of game where you have. Yeah, I mean, maybe not the marquee matchup that's going to capture the nation's attention, but I think here in the Northeast, this should be a great game because you have two teams that have very opposite strengths, and those strengths are going to be going against each other, and you know, everybody's going to be talking about that matchup coming into the game, but I think that's going to be, I think it's really underrated right now, the offensive line of Boston College because of its experience against, you know, maybe the most talented group of defensive linemen in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Donnie, this was fascinating. I enjoyed this because your feel for old Yankee Stadium and the Yankees was great to listen to. Thanks so much, my friend. It's great to hear from you. I hope you have a great holiday. Can't wait to see you up there.
Yeah, same to you, Steve. I'll be there. Okay.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Final moments of the show. Thanks to Donnie Collins, Jeff Hartman, Brandon Gowden for being on the show today. We'll have the play-by-play voice of Boston College coming up next week, as a matter of fact. We have a lot going on. Back with you tomorrow. Should be fun. Thursday, Friday, then we'll have a snippet of a show on Monday, and then a full show on Tuesday. In fact, Monday from 4 to 5, Kevin will be talking about the Olympics in Washington, D.C.
on WKOK.com.
I thought all of us agreed in a meeting that we thought that was the best time for you to air that.
That's where my fans are on the web.
I'm sure they're both going to enjoy it.